And welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
Hi.
How are you?
How's everybody doing?
That's terrific.
Mm-hmm. It is terrific.
It's been a pretty eventful week in certain regards.
I mean, there's been things that happened. I mean, we got word that there's been a bunch of layoffs at DC Comics.
Yeah, a lot of editors, a lot of people in the comp that oversee books.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty wild.
It is pretty wild. We got that. We got pretty much the entire streaming service for DC Universe, which, I mean, now that they have
HBO Max
is kind of redundant. So that one I kind of saw coming.
It is redundant. It's really...
It was pretty redundant.
It's really silly. You know, that the fact that, you know, you have the separate service, but you could pretty much get, like it
depends, because, like, you look at DC Universe and it's like, some movies are here, but then you have to go over to HBO Max to watch the rest of the movies.
But you can't watch, like... everything,
right?
You know, like, you should just be able to watch everything in one spot,
right?
So I don't know.
I think that'll be phased out. I don't know if it's just going to be like a comic book service or what.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, which would be
if
fine
if they do that, because that would be great. I've had the DC app and I've had the service for about a year for comics, and I haven't really done much with it recently, but I love it.
Yeah,
it's great because there's so much stuff just to read and all that. So I hope it does that part of it sticks around. And the way it is, I don't really want that to change. But I guess, you know, as far as like the streaming service pertaining to all the original content and movies and cartoons and stuff, you know, I mean, that hasn't apparently done as well as they would want to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think that's made mostly because you can't get it everywhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, it took us forever to finally, you know, because we were waiting for it to come to the smart TV. We were waiting for it to come to the PlayStation.
Uh-huh.
So eventually we just had to shove it on a fire stick.
Yeah, which I think it was there to, it wasn't always there to start. But
yeah,
I mean,
it wasn't there to start with.
Which is ridiculous because, and I know that, you know, apparently they're trying to like make these deals to do that. They're still not done. And I don't know why that wouldn't be done if you want to make this thing a success. I don't think that's the point anymore now. They're just trying to figure out what the hell's next.
Sure.
And, you know, how they can get out of it. Like, it's not even a Roku. You know, like Roku usually has a lot of shit that a lot of my other stuff doesn't have, you know, and it's a shame that, because, again, it's like, you know, what I was saying before a couple of episodes ago, and it just feels like they're not nearly as ubiquitous as Marvel.
Well, hopefully if they go to HBO Max, I feel like that's a lot more accessible.
Well, it'll be definitely more accessible. I agree with that. But I'm talking like in terms of just promoting the, you know, what DC Comics is. I just feel, I mean, obviously there's people know who Batman and Superman is.
Sure.
But it's a lot like, I was thinking about this just now, but Marvel's a lot like WWE.
Okay.
And DC is a lot like WCW, where WCW has, you know, or DC has a strong fan base. But it's like it only doesn't really. And this is, we're talking about like an attitude era.
Mm.
It caters to a certain amount of people, but it doesn't feel like it actually grows.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas WWE or Marvel continues to grow and continues to, you know, one up itself. Because as I was saying this before about like DC and their toys, you know,
they shut that whole DC collectibles division down.
I mean,
so
that doesn't mean there's not gonna be any toys, but I feel like there isn't shit anyways. Like,
we've complained about,
like, you go to a store. I mean, we don't have like dedicated toy stores anymore, but if you go to like a toy section, you know, you don't, like a Target or a Walmart, like, you don't really, I feel like you don't really see enough DC stuff,
right?
You know, and it just feels like, I mean, I don't know why that is, because if you were DC and you wanted people to have Superman and Batman figures, and fucking put Superman and Batman figures up there. And they do, but it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
So, and I guess somebody was saying this, I read this on a tweet. I read this on a tweet. Somebody on Twitter said, since the AT&T merger, because I'm trying to figure out exactly what this was, but AT&T bought the Warner Media. What that means is AT&T is trying to figure out, somebody was saying, like, AT&T is trying to figure out how to focus on their streaming stuff, on the streaming stuff. And eventually they will just do away with the print aspect of DC Comics. Like, they're just going to shut that down.
Mm.
And I don't know. And that's something where...
I don't want that.
No, we don't want that, for one. And it's something where you think that it can't happen.
I mean, it totally can happen.
But it totally can happen.
There's something to be said for physical media. And I mean... I mean, we bitch about how much space our comics take up. Like, let's be honest, because they do. They take up a lot of fucking space, and it's so much easier just to be like, everything's on the it's in the cloud.
Yeah.
But then what happens when you lose power? You know?
Oh, yeah. No, I need the trades.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I need books.
What happens tomorrow if there's some sort of like solar flare or electromagnetic pulse and we're all fucking dead in the water? You can't watch TV. You can't go on the internet. Your phone's a fucking brick. What do you do? Well, you got to read something.
I mean, if you need to be entertained, yes. You know, that's what you would do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty messed up. And then like also like, so they laid off like a lot of like, you know, executives, people that in charge of, you know, like a lot of, you know, because obviously COVID has played a part into this. And it's, you know, it sucks for a lot of people that got their jobs, you know, that they don't have jobs. I mean, especially in this time of, you know, weirdness. But like a company like AT&T merging with, you know, Warner, they're like, well, where do we have redundancies?
Right.
You know, and that happens a lot, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't have a this guy at AT&T and this guy at Warner. It's like, you know, just have somebody, one guy do everything and right. They're going to pick their guy.
I was just going to say, I really wish it was fall.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with anything. I just really wish it was fall. But my new thing is I want to take a day off in October and I want to go wander around a cemetery.
Yeah.
Get back in touch with my gothness.
Well, we were talking about it the other day and I just realized.
It's a really good idea, right?
Well, it dawned on me that I was like, man, it's been a long time since I've been to a cemetery. And that's something I said out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, hey, how come I haven't been to a cemetery in a while?
Yeah, there's a pretty sweet one here.
It's probably been at least 3 years.
Well, it's been a while, but I mean, like, they're just to look at cool shit.
Maybe I'll see a zombie. I don't know. That's how fucking Nightmare, Night of the Living Dead starts. They're just walking around a fucking, whatever, a graveyard. And there's Bill Hinsman fucking shambling through the fucking things. And that's the zombie.
Yeah.
And then all the zombies start coming. It's like, well, maybe that'll happen.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll just hang out.
Yeah, I just kind of want to go look. There's a really cool one in Denver that's been around for a long time. Fairmount Cemetery. And it's got some cool shit. I just kind of want to go wander around.
Yeah.
Hang out on a nice fall day. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
And in Colorado in the fall is pretty nice.
It is pretty nice. Yeah. I mean, it's not New England in the fall. I will say that there really isn't a fall in Colorado. It's like 4 days and then you're into winter.
We'll see.
But if we can get a nice fall day, and the leaves are not nearly as spectacular as they are back east.
Yeah.
It's all yellow out here. But still, I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait for Halloween. I mean, literally, the calendar changed to August 1st, and I'm like, all right, spooky season. Where is it?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a weird Halloween, but...
It doesn't matter. I still want Halloween.
Because it's still
Halloween in fall. Like, I'm already drinking apple cider.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's
how... I know, you bought, like, three boxes today.
You bought four.
Yeah.
Well, because there was this great place, which I don't know if it's still going to be open after COVID, but up in Estes Park, where I'd also like to stay at Stanley. Just going to put that out there. So in Estes Park, there was this cool whiskey distillery that we went to a while ago, and they had really good apple
liqueur.
Which tastes amazing in apple cider.
Yeah.
They also have a pumpkin one. Not too bad in apple cider. I've had to switch over to that because I drank all of the apple.
Yeah, you really polished that bottle off.
Yeah, I mean, we bought it last fall.
I know, but I don't think I really touched it as much.
No, I did. Because I put in my stuff.
I haven't done booze in a while.
Yeah. I just put a little bit.
So take the edge off.
Yeah, just take the edge off, you know. Yeah. Making quarantine better. But yeah, so I'm already like switched over. I'm like, where's my cider? Totally ready. So,
well, speaking of, since we're talking about Halloween,
yes,
because we're always talking about Halloween.
It's my favorite. Every day is Halloween.
Yeah,
per Ministry.
There's a documentary on Shudder, which is called "In Search of Darkness." It's a couple like a year, however long ago, a year two ago, there was a Kickstarter going around for this documentary, and a lot because I would see it on like the videos for like Cinemassacre or whatever. It was promoted as this super long documentary that covers movies from the horror movies from the 80s, mm-hmm. you know, and it has a lot of talking heads and stuff, and they're going to have all these people on it. Well, the movie got made.
Yeah.
And it was out.
It is really super long.
And it's out. And as promised, it is a long documentary. It is 4 hours long.
And it's on Shudder.
Now, I guess I feel like it's a trend because there's also the Never Sleep Again mm-hmm. documentary, which is about the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, as well as right. the there's another one, Crystal Lake Memories, which is about the Friday 13th. Uh-huh. And this one is just all about like 80s. And there's like they're like four. All these documentaries are like 4 hours long. Yeah. But it's just they go year by year.
Yeah. And it's just like, let's talk about this movie.
And it's a lot like I Love the 80s or I Love the 90s on VH1.
Kind of. Yeah.
You know, without all the without, you know, fucking Paul F. Tompkins or whatever. It's
yeah, just like Tom Atkins and
but well, they, yeah, so they
video
do
video game nerd and
yeah, because like, James Rolfe was on there. But they talk to they,
a bunch of other
what
people.
They'll do is they'll come, they'll go year by year, and then they'll bring up like certain movies,
yeah,
and talk about them, and they'll talk to some of the people that were in them, and they'll just get perspective. And I mean, it's a lot of fun because I love that sort of stuff. It's like
I know,
hey,
it's like a big list.
Yeah, I like lists. I like when you're like, hey, here's this thing, and now we're going to talk about it, and here's this other thing, and now we're talking about it. I just like it. I highly recommend it. There's a bunch of movies on there that I was kind of like, oh, I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I could watch it and not even just lose track of time.
Yeah.
Because I started watching, you know, I knew it was that long, but I started watching it. I think it was like 10 o'clock on like, it was like late on like a Saturday night and or Friday night or whatever. And it just fucking flew by. I got like halfway through and I could have stayed up the whole night watching it, you know, and then you just watch it. It just flies by because it's just, you know, one thing after another, and they do like interstitials between talking about certain deals or whatever.
And Tom Atkins just seems like he'd be a real fun guy to hang out with.
Yeah, well, Tom Atkins, of course, star of Night of the Creeps and Jen's favorite movie.
One of her favorite movies,
and I like it a lot too. Halloween 3.
Yep, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. He's apparently a doctor of that, but I still don't understand.
He's a very drunk, belligerent doctor.
He's just like, I'm a doctor who's going to solve a mystery. Like,
but I'm also drinking. I also got some Rhodes sodas.
I'm literally drunk this entire movie. It's such a great movie.
But he's just talking about the movie and just being like, he loves the idea that he's like, he's just like, fuck it, I'm this kind of actor.
That he's just been in so many of these movies. Because he's in more than just those two.
Yeah, he's
like
in a lot of stuff.
Five of them or something that he talks about.
Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff. Yeah, no, it's I highly recommend it. Kind of hope they do a follow-up and maybe just do them year by year or something. I don't know. I would love it if that was like a show on Shudder.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Shudder's actually got some pretty good original programming, like documentary stuff that we've come across. Mm-hmm. And I guess some of the like narrative stuff, like The Host, apparently is very good.
Apparently it's very good, yeah.
So I think we should give that a shot. There's some good stuff on there. And Shudder's awesome, but... so there's that. And then last thing I wanted to touch on.
I think you want to talk about your game thing.
Well, yeah, I was just real briefly, like I went to, so I'm a part of this group. It was for classic gamers in Colorado. So it's like a retro gaming group. And they'll have like swap meets. They used to do one at the one up over up the street. But since that place is not open because of COVID, you know, they haven't been able to do one in a while. So they opted to do one in Castle Rock. And that one was in a park pavilion or something like that.
Outside.
And
which is good.
Which is great. Yeah, it was great because everybody was distanced. You know, I mean, there was people there. There were people there.
Yeah, but it's always better to have like a, you know, outdoors is a lot better than
being cooped up
and shoving people into like one space.
Well, also too, what's great is that if other people were looking at something and I wanted to get a peek, I could stand back and just kind of look and not really like congregate too close around people.
Right.
You know, and obviously everybody had masks. I had my gloves. So
good.
You know, so I was
digging through any of that crap.
Yeah, I didn't want to dig through that crap, but I did, you know, at the same time, you know, I was digging through stuff. Somehow, of course, it's like I feel like I go to video game conventions and I find action figures.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I found the one time we went to that one out in what was that? The way up north.
Greeley. Yeah.
I got like a Superman superpowers and Toy Biz Eric the Red. And this one, some guy just had a bag of gimmicks and I found like a Toy Biz Space Rider's Beast and Toy Biz Vengeance. Mm-hmm. And the guy was like, I don't know, 2 for $5. And I was like, great.
Nice.
Which is way less than I would be paying if I was trying to like hunt them down and like on like Mercari or something like that.
Right.
And then I did buy a few games, bought Street Fighter 2010 for my NES, or for my, you know, for the NES. And I also bought a PlayStation 2. Because PlayStation 2 was, I had that after I had the N64. Or I shared the N64, Brian, and my brothers.
Right.
But the PlayStation 2 was something like, I think the first console I bought on my own. That one, I bought an original one, and then I actually ended up getting a Slim. And then I found a silver one at this place, and it was like $75 with like all the cords. And maybe it was less, but I was like, fine, why not? Because, I mean, it's, again, people are selling all sorts of consoles there. I mean, there's a shit ton of like Colecos and Ataris and GameCubes and Wiis or whatever. And then somebody had a Saturn, a Sega Saturn, which I was tempted to get, but I don't really have the affinity for Saturn like I did PlayStation 2. So now I have to find some games. I bought Justice League Heroes. This guy was like, yeah, I like that for sale as well. It doesn't work.
Oh no.
Because the cart's like scratched up. I mean, it's cheap, but sure. Maybe it'll work at some point. One of the screens loads, but it doesn't continue. So I don't know if that's something, if it just needs some like cleaning, but I tried out my copy of PlayStation 1's WCW versus the World, and that works great. So I'm excited because now I can also maybe play some PlayStation 1 games, which is something I didn't really consider when I originally had a PlayStation. So, and then I forgot to tell you this, there was a guy there who he was wearing an NWO shirt.
Oh yeah.
And I wanted to buy something for him because I just wanted to buy it and just be like, for life, and just give him like the wolf pack. He probably would know. And he's like, you know, if you know, you know. But sadly, he didn't have anything I wanted to get. So.
Oh, I'm sorry, babe. You could have still given him the for life.
Oh, but it's actually comic book related. There was a guy there. I don't even know his name, but he was just telling me.
Oh, the guy with the pins?
Well, he was, because I was wearing my Creeper shirt.
Yes.
And he looks at my shirt. He's like, oh, cool shirt. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, I've been drawing that forever because I draw these pins or whatever, and he apparently draws like DC characters or whatever. Maybe he draws other stuff, but I know he's mentioned he draws DC characters for these enamel pins from a company called Fansets. And I guess they're based out of here,
yeah,
like in Colorado somewhere. Yeah. I think like Colorado Springs or maybe somewhere else.
Sure.
And he was telling me about all these other ones that they got coming up, you know. And he's like, yeah, I've been having to draw like the Creeper and all these other ones. And he was telling me about these other ones that are already out. And I was like, God damn, I think I need a whole bunch of them. Because I kind of just want to get my guys. So there's, you know, there's a Dr. Fate. I think I have Dr. Fate and Red Tornado already. But there's the Question. There's
Phantom Stranger.
I mean, there's Swamp Thing. I mean, they're pretty. I mean, there's enamel pins, but I like that stuff. I think I kind of like it. So we'll see. So if you do check out Fansets and you are a local Coloradan, supporting a local business. So I guess we take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about our book for this week.
The Justice League wouldn't help him, so Batman formed a new team. These people of power are all looking for something, be it their past or a purpose or simply somewhere to fit in. These are the heroes for a troubled age. They are the Outsiders.
We are the Outsiders. Oh, we are the Outsiders.
Covering Mike W. Barr's 1983 series from the very beginning, as they face villains no other team can, like Agent Orange, the Force of July, and the Nuclear Family. Puns. This is The Outcasters, a Batman and the Outsiders podcast. Look for us with the Huntress podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Or listen at our website, thehuntresspodcast.com, and follow us on Twitter at BatOutcasters. We are The Outcasters, because to live outside the law, you must be honest.
All right, we're back here at Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is OMAC, Volume 3, Number 3, from November 2006. Yet another selection from our list.
Quarantine.
Quarantine Comics. And this actually might be one of the last ones we're going to do from that list or from that pile. I kind of decided that as much as I would love to keep doing them throughout quarantine just to prove the point. I don't really want to.
Yeah, it's getting a little old.
It's getting a little bit old, and I kind of want to go back to the stuff that I've already been working on. You know, we already have. That's ours, because I'm not really planning on keeping any of these.
Right.
I mean, it's nice to read some of the stuff because it's kind of like, oh, I didn't realize I liked this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a good thing. But we're kind of getting into this part where there's a lot of dreck.
Yeah.
coming up. And I'm not really feeling it. I want the show, and I know Jen does too. You know, we want the show to be good. We want the show to be good because we're excited to read what we're reading.
Uh-huh.
And we're having fun doing it. And some of these books, might, you know, at least the ones that we haven't done yet that I'm looking at, just seem like kind of a chore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I just don't feel like it's necessary to put ourselves through that. So that being said, we will do Omak because I don't really know much about this character or about this whole deal.
I don't know anything about him, actually.
Do you know of it at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
So Omak was like it stands for a one-man army corps.
Okay.
And Jack Kirby created this like back in the 70s, like when he jumped to DC to do the New Gods and all that shit. He created, you know, this Omak, which originally started out with there was a guy named Buddy Blank who was linked to something called Brother Eye,
mm-hmm.
which is a satellite that allowed him to have certain powers and everything. Brother Eye has been around for a while. I don't know what happened to Buddy Blank, mm-hmm. but it somehow switched over to another dude. Who is he was a 17-year-old orphan on the streets of Gotham.
But this is this guy?
It's this guy.
But he said he grew up in Metropolis.
Well, maybe it was kayfabe, I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, according to DC Wiki, it says maybe, I don't know. But yeah, he did say he grows up in Metropolis. But
yeah, he does say that.
He became Omak because apparently they shot up a bunch of orphans with Omak viruses or whatever. And so they can become these weapons.
Yes.
And the Brother Eye is trying to control this Omak, but resisting against it.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of see how some of that's kind of going on at this point. Apparently, this Omak had a big deal in Infinite Crisis, which is something that I there's so many things. Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Mm.
I just remembered because the other night, and we'll get to the comic in a minute, but I loved the year last night and before that, I was watching cartoons on Disney Plus. I managed to finish watching the Fantastic Four cartoon.
Oh yeah,
because that only went on for only went for like two seasons, and I started it like when Disney Plus first came out, and I was like, well, fuck it, I'll just finish this. I didn't watch the Impossible Man episode because fuck Impossible Man.
Oh yeah, no.
There's a few like for some reason there are like episodes of Impossible Man, these Marvel cartoons, and I'm like, you fucking keep that shit.
I remember we had to read something with Impossible Man.
We've read a few.
And I was just like, no more.
There was an issue of Spider-Woman
that we
read with him in it, and it fucking sucks.
It does.
And so I skipped on that one, but I watched everything, and it's a good cartoon. I mean, I enjoyed it because I'm a little bit nostalgic for it because I used to, when I was at the kind of at like the height of bit of my comic fandom earlier on, like in 94, 95. And I used to wake up to watch that when I could.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I started playing football, so I couldn't do that as much.
Sure.
But, I used to watch the cartoon and this doesn't have like the Disney one doesn't have like the Stan Lee stuff in between. The problem with the cartoon is that it's definitely a bit hokey.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot hokey because Ben Grimm and he won't shut up. Just like in the comics, he won't shut the fuck up.
Right.
He's just always like, hey, Stretch. Hey, Susie. Ah, matchstick. Just like, shut up.
Yeah.
Fucking rock monster. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, Sean's full of rage.
I feel like the majority of the episodes have to do with either Dr. Doom, Silver Surfer, or Galactus and probably the Inhumans. Like, it doesn't feel like that's maybe just Fantastic Four.
I really appreciated when we had Malice, Mistress of Hate.
Yeah, you were introduced to I've known of Malice, but yeah, just you were.
I was really excited about that. I was like, it's me.
So the hate monger.
Yeah, it's me. Yay, Mistress of Hate.
Hatemonger and Psycho Man. Well, the Psycho Man in the cartoon, but Hatemonger also, they team up to bring out a malevolent personality in Sue Storm known as Malice, where she just wears like a gimp mask.
Yeah, pretty much like a fucking studded collar.
Yeah.
And she just hates things. And I'm like, I could be her.
It's just a lot of like, she's just like, hey, she said a few things, but it was just like, I'm here to hate.
It's literally what I'm here for.
Yeah, that's a deal in there. And, I don't know. It's fun. Mm-hmm. But I now kind of maybe want to go through the rest of those cartoons.
Sure.
So I want to get through X-Men, which a lot of people know and a lot of people love. The Iron Man one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the Hulk one. And there's also a Silver Surfer one that I think I've watched most of it on YouTube, but I'll have to see if I missed anything. But yeah, so it's pretty cool. Anyways, back to OMAC. What did you think of this?
Meh.
Yeah, it wasn't crazy. It's a lot. It's a very like the colors and stuff is very feels very beige.
Like, it really does, and it kind of also has this feeling where it could be like. From any time in the last 20 years where it doesn't, it could be from the new 52. It could be from 2004. It doesn't actually matter.
Yeah. It's very 2000s.
Yeah.
It's very 2000 and late.
Yeah, it is. When is it actually from?
So on the cover, we have the titular OMAC beating up a bunch of U.S. soldiers in a room full of computers that have the Brother Eye insignia on it. So that's basically the cover. And we start off with basically what's happening on the cover. So
what year is it again?
The book?
Yeah.
2006.
Okay. Thank you.
So this guy, Michael Costner, possibly related to Kevin Costner, which will actually put him in the Man of Steel movie.
Oh, God. Did he drown along with the horses while
he just had the hero cake.
Yeah. Apparently this guy was doing a bunch of heroin, but we'll talk about that as we get there.
He had heroin cake.
Heroin cake.
So he's inside of this OMAC monster, which.
Yeah. At first I wasn't exactly sure how this was working, like how this all like shook out. Because I thought, not knowing anything about this, I thought it was just a big robot.
Yeah.
But apparently it's like a guy in sort of a suit, he transforms into thing? Yeah,
instead of because
it's real weird.
Original OMAC, I think, was just a dude that was provided the powers from the Brother Eye. In this case, it's like, I don't want to say it's a cyborg, but it's kind of like a organic suit, and it's just like this big blue, looking thing. Because he talks about like at some point he's like, oh man, I remember getting injected with these OMAC genes or something.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get there.
So OMAC is fighting all these soldiers, and he's a NORAD, apparently.
Yeah, no, he's in the Alaskan version, like because there's like Alaskan base of NORAD.
Yeah, he's an A NORAD,
and then there's a Colorado one because they do show both of them in here.
Is that where is the Colorado one where Firestorm is?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. So they're like he's got some sort of like equipment or something that he's going to use on Brother Eye, but he's trying to.
Well, because from what I'm gathering, because we didn't read any of the others, it seems like he has no control over what's happening right now, and he doesn't have any control until pretty much he gets to the satellite, and then he's like, "Oh, I can move my arm."
Yeah.
So right now he's kind of just along for the ride while his robot body like kind of just rips through NORAD and is trying to get some sort of equipment.
Yeah. So there's a point where a bunch of like 30 tanks shoot him.
Yeah.
And they're all like, yay. And
no.
And one of the guys like, the fuck.
Yeah. He's like, we missed.
Yeah. Boo. Cause he's up in the air and all these planes are like trying to knock him out. It's confusing because
it is confusing because I'm reading this really know like, what's going on.
Well, because there's a part where like they shoot off a bunch of missiles
and they're like, yay, we got it. And they're like, wait, no.
Well, no, but I mean, here it's like, are they shooting at him? And is he like evading them so that they blow up their own themselves?
I guess so.
Because he's not attacking them.
No, but they're trying to stop him from getting away, I guess.
They're trying to stop Omak, but he's not, like, resisting them.
No, but he's getting away, so they're trying to shoot him down, but they're failing miserably.
Somehow they...
absolutely miserable.
Or somehow they're managing to, like, blow each other up, or he's just kind of...
Yeah, and he just doesn't...
evading them.
Yeah.
Or no, wait, does he punch this one?
I don't know. Maybe.
Because he has like this big fist here, and I can't tell if he's flying or if he's punching it. It's
there's a lot.
The arch is kind of confusing.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot. And there's a lot going on. Which doesn't help.
Is this where the fighter jets follow him?
Yeah, the fighter jets are following him at this point.
And there's like one guy who's like obsessed with it, with like getting him. And he's like, I'm going to get him. Well, Omak is going up into space. And so his friends are like, dude, you can't go up there because, like, your thruster is frozen or something.
Yeah, because he's doing the whole, I'm going up in the stratosphere trick.
Yeah, and it's not working. So he...
They should have got Randy Quaid from Independence Day.
He's pretty much is Randy Quaid, and he does not...
Hey, assholes, I'm back!
It doesn't really matter that he wants to get Omak, because Omak basically goes into space, and he's like, ha-ha, I am in space. And so then he flies up to this... busted ass satellite.
Well, hold on for a second. Before that, we get a quick thing with NORAD in Colorado.
Oh, that's right. This is where we see Firestorm, right?
Yeah, Firestorm and Cyborg are there. And I forgot where they're
the name. Colorado one, not trashed. Alaska one, in flames.
Yep. Cyborg's like, I was supposed to stop him.
NORAD's in Colorado Springs. Just FYI.
Is that the one in the mountain?
Yes.
I thought that was in Wyoming.
Nope, it's here.
Yeah. So Firestorm, this is Jason Roush. Questions whether or not Brother Eye could have embedded itself into the NORAD computer. I don't know. He's
kind of like a Brainiac-esque type of, like, Brother Eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also revealed at some point, which we'll get to it. Yeah. So he goes to, Omak goes to the satellite, and...
he's, like, uploading all this information, or the program's uploading the information to him.
Yeah.
And then he starts seeing like all these flashes of stuff. And this is where he's like, oh, I see Batman created Brother Eye.
Yeah. Batman's got a connection to Brother Eye because he uses it to spy on his buddies.
Well, yeah. He was like, it was supposed to be like protect humans from metahumans. This drawing of Batman, I do have to say, is a very good one.
Yeah.
I really like the way the suit looks. I like the way he looks.
The ears are good.
The ears are great. This is a good Batman drawing. The cowl's good.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's too bad he's only in this one panel because he looks really good. But he's like, oh, I see Batman creating Brother Eye. And then, oh, here's me at the orphanage getting just like shot up with this Omak juice.
So instead of gruel, they get Omak juice.
But for some reason, there was like this EMP.
Yeah,
electromagnetic pulse that apparently killed everybody else who had the Omak in them, but for some reason this guy didn't die.
Yeah, he was he was in the toilet. He was in the toilet when everybody else. He was like, "Hey, what's going on?" Oh shit!
Yeah, so he's like the only one left, and then he's finally like, "No, I'm gonna fuck this. I'm out." By the way, I was doing a lot of heroin.
Yeah.
No more junk heroin for me. Only the good shit. Top shelf heroin, please. So he starts like moving his arm, and then he like throws the bag that he stole like into space. And then he's like, okay, now I have to figure out how to get back to Earth.
What is this piece of hardware? Brother Eye must be in this piece of NORAD hardware, and he moves it and he
it doesn't actually matter, as we see later in the book.
Uh-huh.
He just lets it go into space thinking like, haha, I win, but
well, this
it
is
doesn't
part,
matter.
Now this is the part where he's in space and he's like trying to like, because now he kind of has like control of this Omak, and he's kind of freaking out about how to get back to Earth. And that actually would feel very real to me if I was like in space.
I mean, how do you get back to Earth when you're just a robot?
Well, if you're turning around, it's like you have the means to get back to space. You know, your means.
Well, you think so. You were under, you didn't have any control when you were taken up into this satellite, you know, into space. And now you're like, okay, now I have to figure out how to get my weird robot body back to Earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
It's actually very panic inducing for me.
Oh yeah.
Cause like I can see that. Maybe that's why I haven't seen Gravity yet. All right. I mean,
I don't know if Gravity might work. Weird me out. really, it's just waking up in a panic every morning, realizing that death is one day closer. So,
but at least you could be in. Maybe if space.
I was in space, I would just be like, well, at least it's pretty.
At least I'm not on Earth.
I mean, look at how beautiful Earth looks. I don't have to think about the nightmare that's going on down there right now. I have other things to worry about.
So we jump to Nevada, and now we're hanging out with a bus full of strippers.
Woo!
Being driven. I didn't know. Strippers did.
I don't know where. I don't know where they're going.
I felt they just like were independent contractors.
I guess maybe they are. I don't know. I mean, I thought strippers had like a home club, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's another thing too. It's like I thought you just kind of worked around where you lived.
Well, yeah, usually you have like if you're just a regular stripper, you just work at the club down the street,
right?
Right. But if you're like a porn star.
Well, yeah, because you feature and they bring you in.
Yeah, but that's kind of like, you know, doing a gig somewhere.
I once saw a stripper dressed as Michael Myers.
That would have been fun.
Yeah, that was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
She did a thing.
I never saw anything that interesting.
Yeah, strip clubs are usually, for the most part, kind of boring.
Yeah, they're kind of sad, actually.
They're kind of sad, but, you know, depends on what stage you are in life.
There was a complete nudie strip. So I'm assuming it's the same way everywhere. But here, if it was an 18 and up without alcohol, the strippers could be butt-ass naked. 21 and up. With alcohol, they had to wear a G-string.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the same everywhere.
Well, it's different. Like in Buffalo, I think it's like 18 and up, you can, you know, the strippers have to wear pasties and stuff.
Oh, no. No, it's full-ass nude.
But in Canada, it's, you know, fucking all bets are off.
Right, it's Canada.
Because it's Canada, you know. Yeah.
They have health care.
Yeah. We got health care. Yay!
Woo! So do whatever you want. Naked stripper. Yeah, so we would have, there was a 18 and up place down the street that I went to.
Where?
No, it was out in Denver.
Oh, okay.
Closer to my friend Shannon. And we went once with our friend Damon.
Uh-huh.
And we like went to the bar. And like the stripper just spent the whole time talking to us about our shoes.
Shoes.
Because they were all really excited when they saw women there because we weren't going to be weird and creepy. So a lot of them just like talked to us about like their lives.
Yeah, there's something to talk to other than other strippers.
Yeah.
And other than weird dudes.
Right. Yeah. So they were just talking to us about like where they got their shoes and stuff like that.
Speaking of strippers, I watched a movie the other night that I've always wanted to see called Stripped to Kill.
Okay.
Because I remember seeing like ads for it when I was like 6 or 7. You know, it was like one of those things where it's like, I think it was up at the drive-in.
Oh,
actually,
shit.
Which back in the days, we didn't give a fuck.
No.
You just have fucking nudie ass women's movies in drive-ins, you know, right next to, you know, a bunch of kids in a station wagon watching Benji the Hunted.
Which is
where I was. I wasn't at Strip to Kill.
Yeah, but you could still see it.
I could have if I wanted to. I don't remember seeing it. I remember seeing it on the marquee, though.
Strip to Kill.
And it's nuts because basically it's about like a girl or about a police woman who goes undercover at a strip club run by Norman Fell for some reason.
Okay.
To find out like about this murder about a stripper. One of her partner is the not Paul Reiser dad from My Two Dads.
Okay.
Greg Evigan. Like just starts off like, you know, like, you know, whodunit. And then eventually it ends up being like a guy whose sister was a stripper and she left town. Like he was like a kid, like a teenager or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he started posing, like wearing like fake breasts
as his sister
or started doing that. And he started killing these other strippers. It just turns into like this big, like people are just running around with gasoline. And they're setting these fire, like everything's on fire. Everything is on fire at the end of this movie.
But why?
I don't know. It just
all right. Fair
goes
enough.
Nuts.
Okay.
And it may have been a canon movie. I'm pretty sure it was. Definitely had the hints of that. But
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was. I've always wanted to see it, and I was like, oh, this movie's nuts.
It sounds nuts.
Yeah. I guess. And then the strippers. It's one of these strip clubs where apparently you do regular ass stripping, but then you could also do like have like sets and shit. You know, like set, like if you want to do like a teacher, you can have like a blackboard. There was a girl that was walking around like with a bunch of fucking skeletons and she was dressed in like just a Reaper costume.
I feel like that would be a lot to have props, but I mean, it might make things more fun.
The one girl you would have liked this one girl's walking around in a Reaper costume and carrying a noose. And that was I was like, is this art?
I was going to say, it was just a guy in the room crying. That was the art.
One of the best gags.
Oh, such a good Simpsons joke.
As you can tell, there's not a lot going on.
There's
not
a lot going on in this. Yeah, not a lot.
Anyways, stripper full, band full of strippers. They get a flat.
Can we just talk about WAP?
Oh, he wants. Did you want a prologue?
Can we just talk about WAP instead of this book? Let's talk.
Do you want to get your WAP out? Go ahead, and get your WAP out. We gotta finish this.
We got the wet ass pussy game going on. Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion blessed us with a wonderful track.
Because God bless
it.
God bless dirty rap in 2020.
Yeah, goddamn, yeah.
Because you all didn't know. You look, for a long time, and I mean, granted, it's been around.
It's
always been around. I mean, but for some reason, now we're
everybody
all
seems
home.
To have like forgotten about Lil' Kim. I'm just like, who doesn't remember how many licks? What the fuck are you people losing your shit over right now?
There is, yeah. I mean, Candy Shop.
Oh, my God. Well, it's always okay when a dude does it. Don't worry about that. That they're all upset because...
Is that 50 Cent?
Yeah.
I thought Lil' Kim was on that.
She might be on it, but it's his song.
Yeah, the song is...
Like, oh, my God, women singing about sex. Oh!
I always got to the point where we're getting to the old day. You know, we have... You know, everything old is new again because I got Ben Shapiro reading the lap rear.
Well, that's like literally what I said on Twitter. And then like the day later it came true because I was just like, oh, man, conservatives are like clutching their pearls over a song. Everything old is new again. And I'm like, I really hope that we get a conservative, an angry conservative reading the lyrics to WAP. Yeah. All upset and like worked up just like they did when Body Count came out.
Yeah.
And literally like the day, not even 24 hours later, it happened. You know, I was like, oh, it's so wonderful. The 90s are here again.
You know what's next is that Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B need to go speak at Congress. That's next.
Yay.
Because that's the next step. That's when you know. That's when you know the shit is lit.
Oh my God, I would love it.
That's when you know it's off the
it.
Chain. Because that's when you had fucking D. Snyder tell Tipper Gore to eat shit.
I was gonna say, I also tweeted that. I was like, Tipper Gore would be so proud right now. Yeah. And Tipper Gore should have eaten shit, but that's another story. Yeah. Anyway.
So the bus gets flat and the strippers are out there and they see...
Like, basically a meteor, kind of like Superman coming down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he just crashes into this crater and they're like, oh my gosh, let's go see what's going on. And they go over and it's just a dude.
Just dude.
And they're like, oh, I gotta help him.
Well, they make it... So the way that this
but
looks...
But it's also... It looks weird, but they're also... Everything they say is odd.
What do you mean?
So when they start, like, they're like, oh, I'm going to help this guy. They're like, yeah, why don't you keep trying to help him a little lower? I'm like, what's happening? He's unconscious.
Also, you just witnessed a man
fall
from this fucking sky. You know, granted, maybe, I mean, they're strippers. They've probably seen a lot of shit.
Well, they were just like, oh, he got hit by that meteor. I'm like, well, he wouldn't be alive if he got hit by a meteor.
Yeah, right. Well, also, this is what's the distance is kind of weird because it looks like this meteor is like crashing like way off in the distance. I'm like, oh, we're going to go check it out.
Yeah.
And first of all, it's like, you're in the middle of fucking nowhere in Nevada.
Right.
At night.
Right?
There are fucking
snakes.
It's the desert. It is cold. There are snakes and wolves.
Oh, man.
And you're
so
all like,
wolves.
We got a flashlight. Let's go look at the meter. Now, granted, yes, I would be curious. But also, I would be tentative. These girls do not care.
No.
So they see Olmec and he's, thankfully his pants didn't burn up.
Kind of like the Incredible Hulk is like, my pants are indestructible.
So, yeah, they're very confused because they don't see a plane, but, you know, maybe get hit by this Hobbit.
Sure.
And
like, bring him on the bus.
And he's unconscious, but he's still breathing and he doesn't have a scratch on him. So they bring him on the bus and the bus driver is like, hey, you ladies, what the fuck? You know,
right.
He's kind of giving them shit.
It's like, we're not a hospital. It's like, well, we got to help this guy.
He's like, yeah, well, once we get back to Tahoe, we're throwing on the street.
He wakes up at one point and they're like, oh, I'm so-and-so and so-and-so. One of them is Vellum.
Vienna. Okay. I want to point out. So he's laying there. He starts muttering. He just goes, weed.
Oh, that's right. They're like, oh my gosh, he's trying to say something. Is it water? Do you want water? And he's just like, weed.
Drugs.
Give me that sweet, sweet green.
So then he's lying there. He's muttering. And then the next scene, he's just sitting up in a seat.
Yeah.
Telling them that he grew up in Metropolis, which he did not.
Yeah.
He grew up in Gotham.
Oh, and one of them, the whatever her name is, Valoria. What's her name?
Valerian?
Yeah. She's like, you look really familiar. And he's like,
well, this bus driver says, you got a show tonight and I don't want no sagging eyes or anything else.
Yes. Well, as we know, staying up late just makes those tits just so saggy.
Your whole body just goes bleh.
You know, if you don't get at least 6 hours of sleep, everything's just like womp. But as you get 8 hours, everything's like wee.
That's how the women's bodies work, guys.
That's how it works. I have not gotten more than 2 hours of sleep in my entire life.
One time we had to get up really early, we only got like 2 hours of sleep, and I woke up and you're just a puddle.
Yeah, you know, it's... It's really difficult. You just like scooped me and used a dustpan.
How did I scoop you in? I'd have to like push your mass into a bucket.
You did. You used a dustpan and you just sort of shoved my mass into a trash bag. And then I carried it. And you were like, come on, we got to go. We got a flight.
And I checked you in luggage.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm just checking a bucket of wife.
It's like a bucket of chum, but it just says me with my eyes. I'm just blinking. It's like that that weird face that's like on, you know what I'm talking about? There's a people cosplay it, and it's just like that weird, like stretched face.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I just look like that, but just more silly putty esque.
Yeah, that's what happens if you don't. It's what happens if you don't get 8 hours of sleep. So
I mean, that's why they are saying 8 hours of sleep is good for you.
But it's weird.
You'll
because,
be a puddle
because other he's talking, and then all of a sudden he's like laying down again, and these girls are just kind of watching. Like, oh, he's going to sleep. Like he's kind of like a baby.
It's kind of like a baby, and then they're just like, oh, we got to get to Tahoe. You know what? Let's all stop and sleep real quick. But then we're back in space, and this is where like whatever he stole, like. The equipment just assembles itself into Brother Eye on this satellite.
Yeah, so we're back to square one.
Yeah.
And we're stopped off. Yeah, the bus is stopped off, so...
Everybody sleeps.
Omak gets up and he steals a bunch of $5 bills and some cigarettes.
Yeah, and he goes outside, and that's when Valorian, or whatever the fuck her name is, Velma goes out, and she's like, I knew I recognized you. You're the guy from Vegas who went into our dressing room and stole a bunch of shit. And now you're stealing more money and my smokes. And she's like, I knew I recognized you. So she like pulls out her cell phone and she's going to call the cops. But all of a sudden, a semi-truck almost runs them over.
Well, this is what happens when you're on the fucking road in the middle of the night. I told you, it's dangerous.
Yes.
They didn't listen to me.
You would think you would be standing on the side of the road. But whatever.
That's not, you're not even safe there. You're not even safe there. You're not safe anywhere. Just keep going.
It's true. It's
true. Keep going. Take shifts in driving.
This is like that red-handed podcast we listened to where those people died in the middle of the Australian desert on the highway between Perth and wherever the fuck.
Yeah, well.
Because there's apparently nothing. Apparently Perth is very, very remote for a city.
Well, Australia is fucking huge and dangerous.
Well, that is true. So. Apparently, Perth is so remote that it's actually closer to cities in other countries than it is to other cities in Australia.
That's funny.
Yeah.
As this happened, the truck's coming up and Omak saves her. Like, his limbs become all blue.
Yeah, he, like, grabs her and he, like, jumps over the semi and, like, puts her down. He's like, sorry, I'm still not getting the hang. I'm still trying to get the hang of it. And she's just like,
What
are you? And then that's that.
That's it.
That's it. And good question. Nobody knows what he is except for a hero. There is one part where he like go. We missed this part, but it was when he was going back down to Earth and he like was yelling at the satellite and he was like, kiss my white dopey ass or whatever. Yeah,
bite my dopey ass.
My white doped ass, I think is what my white doped butt, because he's not going to say ass, but I was like, oh, okay.
So, yeah, and that's how that ends. That is Omak Volume 3, Number 3 from November 2006. Do you want to read Issue 4?
Nope.
Yeah.
I do not. I have no interest in Omak and his weird... How much longer does this run?
Well,
this is
a limited series, so this only goes on for, it's like 3 of 8, so we're still got time with this. Yeah, I don't know. I don't care.
Nope.
That's the thing. There's a lot of like these ancillary characters, which I love a lot of ancillary characters, but
sure,
some of them I just can't give a fuck about. And that's a shame because, you know, I want to give everything a chance.
You can't give a fuck about everything.
You can't, that's true. You cannot give a fuck about everything.
You know, you got to pick and choose what you're going to give those fucks about. So it's okay if it's not Omak.
Fucks given out, the fucks you give out should be metered out properly because sometimes you might not give enough fucks.
And you might run out of them.
Running out of fucks is sometimes a good thing, but you can also run out of fucks.
Also, sometimes a bad thing.
It could be a bad thing because then it doesn't really – if you don't give a fuck about something.
Yeah, you're like, wait, I want to give a fuck about that, but I don't have any fucks left.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
It's a problem that we are facing in this nation amongst everything else.
True. So many problems.
We need the – the fuck stimulus package.
Somebody pass the fuck stimulus package.
I would love that.
Me too.
I think that was what WAP was supposed to be. WAP was full of fucks.
Yeah, it's definitely full of fucks.
Oh, you know it. So yeah, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever. And email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And real quick about Facebook, I am going to plan on doing some unboxings.
Oh, man.
Because I have off tomorrow.
Ooh.
So the day that this releases. And I'm going to go ahead and maybe do a few unboxings. Because I made some money on Mercari, so I'm just buying more shit to replace. Mm. I'm trying to fine-tune my collection.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out how to do that properly because I don't really want to buy more things to figure out the space issues.
You also don't have any room.
I don't have any room. So, I want to kind of figure that out properly.
Yes.
But I did buy some cool shit and go ahead and open it. So stick around for that. But once again, folks, thanks for listening. Oh, by the way, rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you get the show. I have to check and see if we're up on Amazon.
No.
Well, we could be.
Well, we could be, but don't you have to agree to be up on Amazon? Because I sent you that link.
Yeah.
Where, like, if you're going to be on Amazon, you have to agree never to disparage Amazon. So you and I, we're never going to be there because no. What? How could we ever agree to that?
Well, I would prefer to be on there, but I don't. We don't really talk about Amazon here.
What if I want to say fuck Bezos?
Oh, you're right.
What if I feel the new? What if Bezos buys DC Comics and drives it into the ground, disbands it completely, and I'm on Amazon podcasts? That means that I'm not able to say fuck Bezos.
And Superman has to work as an Amazon Prime driver. Yeah, it's a living.
Right? So I want to make sure that I have my fuck Bezos abilities.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
But you could review and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify.
Yeah.
Those are all places you could check us out on. And we would.
They're not asking me not to say fuck Tim Apple.
It took a minute. It took like a half second for me to remember that.
Throwback.
I love it. So anyways, folks, thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.